Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy.
So you can protect stuff like this.
Or this.
Or even this.
Nope. Case in point.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In North Carolina, a fugitive killer who escaped during a hospital trip is recaptured after a dramatic escape. In Louisiana, a man crashes into a church after claiming demons were riding with him. And in California, a mom is mauled to death by a dog. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, August 21st, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton. And it's not Thursday, it's
Wednesday. No, it's Wednesday. Do we have hump day?
Hump day.
How could we forget hump day?
Hump day.
The best day of the year.
You remember hump day? Hump day, hump.
Yeah. Undo the Humpty Hump. Watch me do the Humpty. Oh, man. Yeah, we're going way back.
Yes, indeed.
Early 90s.
Well, let's do it. Let's
Digital Underground.
Yes, yeah. Now some true crime time for Wednesday.
And we're going to start out in North Carolina, and a murderer who escaped from prison last week has been recaptured. This, according to authorities who held a news conference this past Friday. Ramon Alston, who was 30, escaped from custody after being transported to a medical appointment at UNC's hospital's Hillsborough campus. This was around 7 a.m. on Tuesday. He managed to break free from his leg restraints and, while in handcuffs, jumped out of a vehicle he was being transported in and ran into the adjacent woods. Police advised the public to stay away from him, saying he was considered very dangerous. People make rash decisions at times like this. He's already made one very large rash decision this morning. That from Keith Acree, a spokesman for the Department of Adult Correction, on the day that he escaped. Around 2 a.m. on Friday, authorities recaptured Alston about 100 miles away. He made it 100 miles away, so he broke the perimeter. There's no doubt, at a hotel in Kannapolis, North Carolina. He was taken into custody without incident. Jacobia Crisp, the woman believed to have helped Alston escape, was taken into custody at Alamance County and charged with felony aiding and abetting a fugitive. She since posted bond. During the press conference, police said they believe the relationship between the two started several months ago. The relationship developed by phone and after Alston was imprisoned. It's not clear what the nature of the relationship was between Alston and Crip or how they met. Investigators said they're looking into whether anyone else helped him escape. Alston will be charged with felony escape from prison. He's being transported to Granville Correctional Center, which is the most secure unit in the state's prison system. There, he will resume his term while he's waiting for court appearances on the escape charges. Now, what made him so dangerous? Well, he was serving a life sentence for first-degree murder in the death of Malil Williams, who was playing outside with her toys on Christmas Day when she was hit by gunfire. She was a year old. Yep. Alston was convicted of that girl's murder in 2015. Officials say they will be reviewing the incident to determine what charges need to be made to the state's prison system, to the state's prison system, if any. And they said we're conducting an internal investigation after an action review that will identify areas of improvement. So authorities offered a $50,000 reward to anyone who had knowledge about his whereabouts, and hundreds of law enforcement officials searched for Alston using helicopters, canines, and ground searches.
Yep, and we talked about that briefly on the WOW on Friday. And
was it after he was caught or
no? Okay, it was before he was caught. And in, so that's what I want to talk about real quick. And then, you know, he was in, he had the black box on, he had leg chains on and everything else. So I said he had to have a handcuff key. There's no way. So when you, like the shackles, when you put them on them, you put it, don't put it where the keyhole is facing up so they can't fuck with it. You put it on the bottom side. In the black box, it goes, you get handcuffed to your belly chain, then they put this black box over the handcuff so you can't pick it.
Okay.
And so he had to have a key. And I figured he had help. I said that on the WOW. And, but, you know, people say, oh, he only got 100 miles away. He should have got further. Well,
shit.
He don't have any fucking money.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a billionaire. He's going to jump a G7 to Belize. You know? I mean, he got out and had him some sex and did whatever, and she's going to prison for it, too. And
yeah.
So be it, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I'm glad they caught him. I mean, because he was – he was dangerous and just a piece of shit to kill a 1-year old.
Yeah. You know, we love our friends at Parrish Forensics.
We do.
And Louisiana Pet Crematory. That's Roy and Kristen and Chris and LouisianaFuneralServices.com.
And LA Pet Crematory.com.
And I know they could absolutely assist in this story, probably both ways, but I don't think Roy and them would want to. And y'all, this is just a horrible story. So they had a lady named Davina Corbin, and she was attacked by dogs in the early mornings of hours of August the 8th. She was a California mom. She was mauled to death by dogs not far from where the incident occurred. 25 Great Danes were found running around.
Oh, my loose. Gosh.
25. That's like fucking 25 horses running
around.
That's
beautiful dogs.
I know, right? Great Danes. So Davina Corbin, 56, was found dead on Black Hawk Trail in Feather Falls, California, around 1:58 a.m. I don't know. Maybe she – I don't know. But anyway, that's according to the Butte County Sheriff's Office. It's believed she was walking in an area when she was attacked. During her autopsy, numerous bite marks. Autopsy also, Parrish Forensics, the only place in the state of Louisiana where you can get your own independent autopsy done.
That's right.
But during her autopsy, numerous bite marks and injuries were found on her body, leading the forensic pathologist to believe that her cause of death involved the dog attack. Detectives obtained a search warrant for a home on Black Hawk Trail and found 25 great Dane dogs who were running loose in the area. The deputies and detectives spent the entire day capturing the dogs. Now, as of August 10th, 23 of the dogs have been captured and placed under the custody of animal control. Upon further investigation, the DNA found on Corbin's clothing was consistent with domestic dog DNA. The local news outlet KCRA reported on August 15th that seven of the dogs, all adult Great Danes, believed to have been involved with Corbin's death, have been euthanized.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's typical. No criminal charges have been filed yet in Corbin's death. And they've obviously, this guy, Max Hecker, who lives there, and has said that they've filed several complaints about the dogs in the past. Nothing's been done about it until now, he said. Wait until somebody gets killed by those dogs. That's a tragedy that should never, ever have happened, ever. Anyway, so the and prayers for that family and stuff. And
yeah, so, well, interesting fact, Great Danes get about 3 feet tall. They weigh about 180 pounds.
Yeah,
that's a big dog.
Big dog. And they're one of the smallest dogs there is.
Yeah, beautiful dog.
Yeah.
Beautiful dog.
And poodles. And we're not throwing shade on the Great Danes. Damn sure throwing shade on whoever.
Yeah, those were wild.
25 of them.
Feral.
And weren't taking care of them.
Yeah. Yeah, horrible.
But y'all go see, well, don't. I hope you don't have to, but if you have to go see, if you – dog's been euthanized for whatever reason, or your loved one passed, go see Roy and Kristen and Kristen underneath that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. And what's their saying?
Rest easy. Yes. Awesome peeps over there. All right, we're going to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Baton Rouge.
Red Stick.
Man, we got a crazy story here for you. A man was arrested just this past Thursday for crashing nearly through an entire church on Scenic Highway in Baton Rouge. Reportedly, he had told officers that he had been riding with demons prior to that crash. That's right, he's riding with demons. Tervont Johnson, who was 26, was arrested after crashing his car through Mount Pilgrim Baptist Church on Scenic Highway. And I'm actually familiar with where that's at. Yep. His vehicle also caught fire immediately following the crash. That would be typical of driving through a building. Brother Clifford Young, the church secretary, said it was startling. I just saw all the water coming out of the sprinkler system and a cloud of smoke, and my brother noticed there was a car in the sanctuary, Young said. Mike Harris, a bystander, was sitting at a stoplight on Mills Avenue at Scenic Highway when he witnessed a Tesla. That's right, a Tesla. Speed through the parking lot of the church. The fire department showed up lickety-split, he said. And they put it out, suppressed the fire, and put it all out. So shout out to the fire department. Harris said he saw Johnson exit the vehicle without a scratch. It was just crazy. I guess the Lord looks after babies and fools.
Right.
Well said, Mr. Harris. I asked if he was okay, and he was nonverbal. I couldn't see any cuts or blood or anything, but he did appear dazed. The Baton Rouge Police Department said Johnson appeared to be incoherent at the time of his arrest. He waived his rights to counsel after police read him his Miranda rights and reportedly admitted to crashing the car, saying he was riding with demons. According to the affidavit, the damage to the church as a result totaled around $100,000, and police seized a large amount of marijuana from Johnson's vehicle. So he was riding with demons and marijuana.
Maybe he's Rastafarian.
Maybe that was the demons.
Yeah, it was.
He was arrested for aggravated criminal damage to property and drug charges related to the marijuana. He was also booked for simple arson as a result of the fire. Young said no one was in the building, thank God, that Johnson crashed into, and he said he was grateful no one was hurt. He is also unsure of when repairs will be finished. He said nothing is in our hands. We don't control anything. We just leave it up to God and count our blessings each and every day. And I sure hope their church gets repaired soon.
Me too.
Yeah, you don't normally hear of a Tesla. You know, usually, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's
Tesla's a bad motherfuckers. But I'm going to San Diego next week, and that's where that doctor drove his whole family off the cliff in the Tesla. And then we did something on the WOW last week about another Tesla. It was a eagle dropped a fish. But the people were inside their house, and the car alarm starts going off and shit. And they heard a loud bang. And evidently, there was an eagle's nest in the yard, and he dropped this big-ass fish on their Tesla. You know, Teslas have 24/7 video cameras that record. And it was all calling camera.
One of the – look, they're bad vehicles.
Have you seen the
I mean, truck? I know some people hate on them because they don't take gas.
Right. Have you seen the truck version they have come out?
Yeah.
I saw not Taliban, but some – one of them dudes out there, princes or whatever, has got one with a 50 caliber machine gun mounted in the back.
Oh, that's cool.
That is kind of cool.
That is pretty cool, man.
It's like silver color.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So listen, when y'all are listening to this, I'm in Atlanta and I'm recording. I just don't have enough time to work all the cases that y'all request. But this case that I'm recording, and it's going to be coming to you soon in the future, it'll be another month and a half or so. It's so horrible, Jim. And they said this happened, but I'm going to investigate and prove it happened another way. And I'm going to tell you a story now that's kind of similar, but different. But anyway, just check this out. This is just like the story I'm going to Atlanta for blows my mind. Mm. So in 2011, this is a pretty lady, huh?
Very
in
pretty.
The prime of her life. Yeah. In 2011, a Philadelphia teacher, Ellen Greenberg, 27, was found dead from more than 20 stab wounds, right?
That's
personal, right?
Mutilate.
Okay. All right. But check this out. Authorities initially listed her death as a homicide, but then they changed it and said it was a suicide. How in the fuck are you going to stab yourself to death 20 times?
Yeah.
Right? And when they did that, it shocked her parents. Who believed that Ellen was murdered, right?
Yeah.
Now the Pennsylvania Supreme Court has agreed to hear Ellen's parents' arguments over the manner of death ruling, which they should. I mean, some cases just need to be heard, like the one in Atlanta. Now, Ellen's parents, Joshua Greenberg and Sandy Greenberg, have long believed that Ellen died by homicide and the investigation was mishandled. They have fought for years to have suicide removed as the manner of death on Ellen's death certificate. And despite losing past legal battles regarding the matter, they may have a chance now to get the ruling officially reexamined. The judges have blatantly said the investigation was faulty on the part of the police, on the part of the medical examiner, and on the part of the district attorney. And according to CBS News, the arguments that will be presented to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court will determine if the executors and administrators of the state can challenge a medical examiner's findings on a death certificate.
They should be able to, right? It happens.
We couldn't be happier. If we're not going to use the word justice, we're going to use the words undecided or homicide, because that's what we believe this is, a homicide. That's what Joshua told CBS about the decision. Ellen was brutally murdered. Now, again, let me give you a couple facts real quick. In early 2011, Greenberg's fiance, Sam Goldberg, returned to their shared residence in Philadelphia, but told investigators he couldn't get inside the apartment because the swing bar lock inside the apartment was in use, blocking his entrance. Eventually, he forced himself inside and discovered Greenberg deceased in the kitchen. She had suffered more than 20 stab wounds and a 10-inch knife was still in her chest at the time of the discovery. She had stab wounds to her chest, abdomen, head, and back, and the back of her neck, as well as a gash on her scalp. I mean, and her manner of death was changed from homicide to suicide after investigators said they only found Greenberg's DNA on the knife and clothing. And that's correct. It doesn't matter, right? If I stab you 20 times, you're not going to find my DNA on the knife. However, Joshua and Sandy's lawyer, Joe, claimed that the knife was never fingerprinted and that there were, in fact, signs of a struggle in the apartment. And they're citing unspecified court documents that the scene was also clean before detectives came to investigate. Let me tell you something. Like Darla Routier, which I'm going to do it one day, y'all. And yes, I've been in contact with her on death row and all that. But you slice your own throat, you're a bad MF-er. But it does happen. People do it.
Sure.
But how you stab yourself in the back of the neck in an abdomen, all around your body with a 10-inch knife 20 times, it's Jim impossible. Chapman?
Let me tell you.
No fucking way.
I know this case very well. I've been watching this case for a long time because what happened was I came across a diagram of the stab wounds, and this is when the family was raising 10 kinds of hell. It was right when they switched it to a suicide, and the family started fighting it, and they released a diagram of all the stab wounds. And you could probably Google that, folks, and check it out. It is impossible for this lady to have done what they're saying she did. But that's where this is a perfect example of parish forensics and where they would come in on a private autopsy and refute what this particular medical examiner is saying.
Absolutely.
So shout out to them. And that's why private autopsies are so important in these types of cases. But just a awful, horrible incident. I've got my opinions on who I think did this.
Right. Naturally.
But I can tell you, Woody, and, you know, check out that diagram and you will be like, what moron would even think this was possible? Right. 20 times. Right. First of all, you can't stab yourself 20 times with a 10-inch knife.
I can't do it with a fucking needle.
Yeah.
I don't want to stab myself 20 times with a needle, much less a 10-inch knife.
Yeah, that case there, bro, is
bad. You know what? Hopefully they'll get justice for at I least pray. Get it changed to homicide, man. Come on, dude. So be
obvious.
Be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
Good, bad, and every profession. Listen, the case in Atlanta, and I'm not going to tell y'all what it is yet. I have everything from body video cams to 911 calls to court transcripts to whatever. And I'm going over there to meet this family. And it's like Courtney Coco, Miss Barbara Blunt, and Mary Puchos. And it's just unbelievable, Jim. It's like this, but there's... You can see the evidence, the real deal. And how in the hell you can live with yourself as a detective or investigator and not investigate this as a murder.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about this case we just told
this
about.
One? Yeah.
And the one in Atlanta.
It's absolutely mind-blowing when you dig into it.
Sometimes you got to just – step the fuck up and you know, this family, the one in Atlanta, this family just hadn't got any help.
Yeah,
it's like Stephanie Belgrade, Courtney Cutco's mama, just didn't get the help.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject?
IXL now.
Is your child ahead,
real life,
not getting challenged enough in class?
Get an exclusive
IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English,
today.
Language arts,
visit
science, and social studies while adopting to each child,
to get the most meeting them where they are. Program
plus,
out there
IXL
at the best
encourages
price.
Students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hey, everybody, it's Ago. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
All right, we're going to go to Minnesota. And look, couples therapy, something that couples have to go through every now and then. You know, maybe you got
that is true.
Little problems. And, but I don't recommend, if you're going through couples therapy, that this should happen. A 30-year-old Minnesota woman is in custody after an incident on the way to her couples therapy session. Veronica Gast was arrested for second-degree assault, criminal vehicular operation, bodily harm, gross negligence, and domestic assault. See, Gast was driving to a couples therapy appointment with her boyfriend when the incident occurred on Wednesday. Before the incident, Gast and her boyfriend had been a couple for about a year. And while driving on the way to a therapist, Gast's boyfriend announced he was breaking up their relationship and requested to be taken home.
There you go.
Yeah, well, Gast then suddenly slams on the brakes, and she demands her boyfriend exit the vehicle, according to the affidavit. The victim, her boyfriend, passed in front of the car to go to a nearby sidewalk. He's like, whatever, you want me out of the car? Get out of the car, I'll walk on, whatever. When her boyfriend passed in front of the vehicle, Gast makes eye contact with him, then slams on the gas in an attempt to run him over. Mm-mm. He then smashed into the windshield. After rolling across the hood of the vehicle, he shattered the windshield, lacerating his right elbow in the process. Oh. The defendant admitted that as she was pulling away, she hit the victim with her vehicle, and she said she slowed down after and stopped to call the police. The defendant said she was in shock at hitting the victim, so she didn't stop right away, but she did let off the gas. So there you go. Yeah, you got to give her at least a month good time for letting off the gas.
Yeah, well.
But thankfully, he wasn't killed. For him, I would just say that probably wasn't the best time to bring that up. Maybe you could have waited till after the appointment or before. When you're not in the car,
but
you never accuse that guy of having a good time, and I guess.
I'm not even trying to laugh about it.
I mean, Jesus.
Well, I'm going to tell you about another idiot. Let's go to Spring, Texas. And in Spring, Texas, a woman was left frightened after a random man showed up to her home in Spring, ask for another woman, and then fired his gun at her garage.
Oh.
Yeah, this is according to the Harris County, again, Houston. A shout-out to Leah Marie. The suspect who is currently on the run has been identified as 38-year-old Thomas Bartlett. Now, the woman told deputies the man showed up the night before, saying that he was invited by someone named Lovely Queen. Mm-hmm. The woman refused to answer the door and told the man to leave, but he refused. A short time after the man left, deputies said he discharged a firearm, causing damage to the woman's garage door. And that's pretty much it, but I just thought that was funny as fuck.
Lovely Queen.
Open the door. I'm here to see Lovely Queen. Motherfucker, get off my property. There ain't no Lovely Queen here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to shoot your garage door.
Look, man, and all joking aside, that's a big problem right now where these people are going up knocking on doors pretending like they're Amazon or delivering something, or pizza guy, and you open the door and you got a gun in your face.
Yeah.
One little thing that I do, and I don't, you know, this is really, I've been doing this since way before, I guess these things were going on. I'm not really sure why, but when someone knocks on my front door, I go out my back door, go right. all the way around the house and come up behind them.
Shock them.
I scare the shit out of them every time. That's the funny part of it, because usually someone's selling solar or something like that, and I come up behind them like, hey. Right. And they jump. I swear they see the spirit horse.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
turn that. Nine shades of white. All right, so we're going to Colorado. And a Colorado CEO was charged with assault after strangling a teenage boy at an In-N-Out restaurant. According to the Loveland Police Department, officers were called to the scene of the popular West Coast fast food chain after reports of a fight inside the restaurant. Police said they spoke with a 15-year-old boy who admitted that he and his friends were horsing around and splashing water on each other. Well, you shouldn't have been doing that. During the horsing around, a nearby customer was splashed with water droplets. Police said that the teen went to the woman's table to apologize when an adult male accompanying a woman suddenly grabbed him, placed both hands around the front and back of his neck, pulled him down to the table, and threw him backward onto the floor. The man, later identified as 55-year-old Lucas Kauschner, left the burger joint before police arrived. After listening to witness accounts and reviewing video, police identified the suspect who turned himself in just after 10:30 p.m. That evening, and he had been charged with felony second-degree strangulation and a misdemeanor count of child abuse. He was arraigned just this past Wednesday, and according to his LinkedIn page, he's the CEO of a funding company in the Denver area. The Lovelace police issued a statement to the public saying the witness played a key role in identifying Kauschner. The Loveland Police Department is very appreciative of the assistance we received from the community during this investigation. All over water droplets. So, you know, people now, it seems like in the last, I sound like an old man saying back in my day, but it seems like in the last couple of years, man, it don't take much to set people off. And this guy, first of all, I wasn't there, and yes, I would get aggravated if some 15-year-old kid was running around throwing water on people. Yeah. Sounds like they were just playing around, right. And a little drop hit this lady, yeah. And this guy is done. Now he's got felony charges, yeah. Serious stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's been over the last 20 years. It's kind of like getting fat. It just happens a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, holy fuck, I'm fat.
Yeah.
And then same thing's happening with the crime now. I mean, it's got, over the years, it's come so commonplace.
Yeah.
People just kill and shoot and maim for no reason.
No reason.
And we talk about it all the time on here. And I'm going to tell
you. Well, the respect for life is, it just seems like it's different. It's
not there. And I'm going to tell you about another one. Now, I don't have any uncles. You know, I just never have them. But.
You don't have any uncles?
No.
So your dad was an only child?
My dad had two sisters, and both of them are deceased.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't have any uncles, but I was always Uncle Woody. I was always the favorite uncle, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about a guy, evidently he wasn't the favorite uncle. And so a man killed his uncle by smashing his head twice into his own living room wall. Right. Terry Ricketts, 53, died of a brain injury shortly after midnight. And it's going back to February, y'all. February 25th, after spending the evening with his wife, Sarah, and her sister, son, Grant Walker, who's 32, from Farringdon Road, Swindon. Now, Mr. Walker, who's already pled guilty to manslaughter, is on trial for murder for the violent, vicious attack. This is a charge he denies, but check this out. Prosecutor Simon Jones told the court Walker's guilty plea to manslaughter was minimizing his own culpability. Mr. Jones added that Mr. Walker's intention in these moments was to cause really serious harm to an ultimately defenseless man. Now, Miss Ricketts' widow told the Bristol Crown Court that the three had enjoyed a pleasant evening, sharing a few drinks and watching television. Mr. Walker and Mr. Ricketts had been fine with each other, as they always have been that evening, she said. Now, but things changed quickly, shortly after midnight, when Mr. Ricketts briefly left the room to use the toilet. Upon his return, he approached Mr. Walker from behind and put his arm around his shoulder. Now, Mr. Walker is alleged to have gripped Mr. Ricketts in a headlock, and they both fell back onto the sofa in what at first appeared to be play fighting. He then dragged his uncle across the room and smashed his head at least twice against the wall before leaving him collapsed on the floor. Now, Miss Ricketts told the court how when she had tried to call an ambulance, Mr. Walker had tried to tell her he simply put her husband to sleep for 10 minutes. Yeah, it gets better. Listen to this shit. He then, she said, picked Mr. Ricketts up by his shirt and belted him. In the U.S., that means he punched him across the face or slapped him and tried to wake him up. Mr. Walker then left the flat and spent the next 7 hours before his arrest frantically calling and texting family and friends. In many of the messages, he admitted to what he had done, telling one friend he had smashed his head twice. He looks dead. And texting his mother, I just killed Terry. Please help me. In further text, he said, I loved him and that he was one of the golden people in his life. But another message, he said his uncle deserved it, and it was karma. Now, Mr. Ricketts was pronounced dead at the scene by paramedics and with injuries consistent with a catastrophic brain injury. And police made contact with Mr. Walker by phone during the early morning hours and arranged to meet him, and they arrested him. Anyway, the trial is still going on.
Mr. Ricketts.
How about smashing your uncle? Smashing pumpkins, smashing your uncles. I don't know how that works.
His family member gets pretty personal.
Yeah, but she said they were just hanging out, having drinks and watching movies.
Hmm.
He went to the bathroom and came back and got him from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in a chokehold, drug him across the room, and smashed his head through the wall.
It's like some UFC shit.
What the fuck? Right?
Wild people.
Wild people of all times. The way it goes.
Well, you know, we're going to go to Georgia, and we're going to tell you how you can hide some meth, or at least a place you would never think you would hide meth.
Right? This is the one that says drugs in bag.
Nope.
You remember when we covered that?
Yeah, but this ain't that one.
All right, go ahead.
So the U.S. DEA said the discovery of one of the largest seizures of its kind has occurred. Celery was used to conceal more than 2,500 pounds of methamphetamine that federal agents discovered in a truck at a farmer's market outside Atlanta. This from the DEA. And what the DEA called one of the largest seizures of its kind, agents confiscated the drugs valued in total at approximately $3.2
million
being delivered to the Atlanta State Farmers Market in Forest Park, Georgia. Mm-hmm. The agency had learned about a semi-trailer coming across the Mexican border, and agents tracked the drugs to the farmers market. This from Robert Murphy of the DEA. The drugs were found inside of that truck. This was contained in a cover load of celery, Murphy said. It was hiding in the celery. Obviously, we threw away the celery.
Yeah,
the fact that he had to note that is hilarious.
In a, put in a Bloody Mary or a lot of
we just want to let you know we threw away the celery.
We threw away the celery. I'm not trying to get you any of that.
Yeah. It didn't. None made it into a store, he said. The driver, a Mexican citizen, was arrested, and the DEA later identified him as Jesus Martinez.
Jesus Martinez.
Using produce to conceal drugs has become a frequent tactic of smugglers, authorities said. This is a significant and unbelievable amount of drugs to be shipped at one time into a destination this far from the border. It also shows the confidence the cartel has now. The DEA said the investigation is ongoing as it prioritizes defeating the Sinaloa and Jalisco cartels. How do you say it?
Jalisco.
There you go. Jalisco.
I only knew that because they get this fire sauce in this little small place in Austin.
And it's called Jalisco.
Well, it's from there, from that region in Mexico.
Oh, there you go. Jalisco. Man, that sounds almost regal.
Right? That's kind of cool name, right?
As you would say back in the day, but which it says are responsible for the majority of the fentanyl and methamphetamine related deaths. So look, hey man, that's 2,500 pounds of meth off the streets is actually a beautiful thing. And I'm glad they caught that because that was headed to a inner city near you.
That was probably likelihood. Street value, like fucking $20 million. By the time they break it, they step on it and do all that.
Yeah. Cut it up and
all, and use fentanyl and everything else, right?
Yeah. So very happy to see that, they made a dent with that one for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a good lick.
And look, let me say this real quick on all of that. One thing that I'm really liking to see, not only locally, but nationally, and the Matthew Perry case is a good example of this. We're seeing these drug dealers and these people that are culpable in the deaths of the those that are addicted get charged with murder, stuff like that now. You never used to see that.
We did.
The drug dealer didn't, it wasn't his fault.
We did the first one here in Livingston Parish in like 2003. It's where those, I'm about to say three people were found deceased. Everybody else basically left a party, and I didn't want to try and re-traumatize anybody. Anyway, they were found deceased, and we pursued who got it. It was Oxycontin back then. That was a big
deal. Yeah.
And that dude's in prison for giving it, selling it to him.
Very good, and as they should be. And I think with fentanyl, especially with fentanyl, right, which is so deadly, right, just a gram of that will kill you, or a teaspoon.
If I was the president, we'd invade every country that has fentanyl and just take out the fentanyl dealers.
Yeah.
The factories.
They're murderers.
Let me tell you about David Michael Gibson, who was arrested after police found a badly decomposed remains in a garage. And a Texas man was arrested after his father's body was found in a freezer in his garage. And police said the son impersonated his deceased dad while speaking with police over a Ring camera.
Oh. Mm.
Impersonation.
Yeah.
Here we go. So Ring David camera. Michael Gibson, 48, was arrested in connection with the incident. And discovery was made after family members of the victim, who has not been named, requested a welfare check on him on August 8th, claiming they hadn't heard from him in months. And this is, I'm probably saying it wrong. I know I got this name wrong once, Bexar, but I think they pronounce it Bear County. That's a San Antonio area. The sheriff said in a statement, said after responding to a San Antonio, Texas home, a deputy tried to speak with someone who appeared in the Ring doorbell camera, claiming he was the man for whom authorities were searching. Somebody answered as if it was him, but the deputy got the sense that it was not him. And the man has since been identified by authorities as the victim's son. The deputy later spoke with the victim's family members, who said, "That voice in that ring is not our father." Once family members were able to go into the home, they found a refrigerator that was suspicious in nature. And when the deputy looked inside the refrigerator, he found human remains that were badly decomposed. And then Gibson was taken into custody. Now, Salazar, sheriff said it wasn't clear yet if the victim had died by homicide. He did not comment on how long the corpse had been in the refrigerator. A family member said they had not seen the victim in several months, right? So thus far, Gibson's been charged with tampering with a corpse. Crazy. You were just talking about not answering the door.
Yeah.
This dude was taken to a different level. He's like, we're looking for so-and-so. They named him. Yeah, well, I'm him. How can I help you? Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Enjoy the end of August. LSU Tigers are coming soon as they can.
That's right. That's right.
So I would guess regular college football starts this weekend because LSU is always a week late. Saying somebody's playing this weekend.
Yeah, somebody. They usually have a few little sporadic games before the games, I guess you could
games
say.
Games before the game.
Yeah.
All right. So, love y'all.
Las Vegas, Nevada. That's right. USC.
That's right. Did you see the cops are going to go on strike? For the NFL games and at that arena, their union chief, so the NFL wants to put in face recognizing technology and scan every one of the cops. Figure that out. I don't know, man. It's part of the system. I'm not working that motherfucker either. Because you don't know I know they have it now, like at casinos and shit, but you don't know what they're going to do with that information.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you're a cop, you're working extra duty keeping the public safety, and you shouldn't have to worry about some company housing your facial recognition software. Me personally, I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
The cops like, you do that, that's part of the policy, fuck you, we're striking.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All right.
It's kind of weird. All right. Well, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton,
your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.